Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Mark.
Says, hello, Ben and Nathan. I am currently a sophomore studying applied mathematics and economics at the University of Rhode Island. After finishing LSAT Demon Daily episode 200, I felt inspired to reach out with a similar situation/question. As of now, I am consistently scoring in the mid-170s range on my practice tests, with the goal of achieving an ultimate score around 177 or 178. I have two tests scheduled for August and September of this year, providing me plenty of time for improvement. However, I'm primarily concerned that my GPA, which is a 3.0 to a 3.3 ballpark, will hurt my chances of being accepted into many of the schools I am looking at, Harvard, Duke, Georgetown, Chicago, Northwestern, Penn, Columbia, NYU, etc. Okay, so the top 14. My academic performance over the last four semesters has been marred by my lifelong ADHD, which I was only recently diagnosed with. In addition to this, I have been financially independent for the last 2 years and have had to work 20 plus hours a week in order to support myself. This, in combination with my ADHD, has had a negative impact on my grades thus far and will likely continue to prevent me from achieving an impressive UGPA for my future law school applications. I recently began taking medication for my ADHD and have seen considerable improvement in my academic performance. Despite this, my GPA will still likely place me below the median at every top 14 school by the time I begin to apply. I am an underrepresented minority with what I and others believe to be a compelling story. My questions. Is there a way I can better position myself to secure a spot at a T14 school given my relatively poor undergraduate GPA? Would it be worth it to provide an explanation for my low stats in my personal statement? I just recently found the LSAT Demon YouTube channel and have found tremendous value in it so far. I look forward to hearing back from you soon. Kind regards, Mark. Mark's new, so we're going to have to go easy on him a little bit.
Yeah, Mark, I feel like you're running a race and you're halfway through that race, or not even halfway yet, and you're already trying to figure out how to deal with the fallout of not being first. And I would rather you turn your focus to the race that you're currently running, which is your UGPA.
Couldn't agree more. I don't think you should be studying for the LSAT right now. We want you to be getting straight A's or not studying for the LSAT. You're trying to do too much at once. You're in school and working 20 hours a week and trying to study for the LSAT. The LSAT seems to be, for you, the easiest component of all of this. You're already in the mid-170s. It sounds to me like he thinks he's probably has to apply right away or something, go straight from undergrad right into law school. Mm-hmm. But you're going to end up killing your chances at these top schools with your low GPA. I mean, I know somebody who just got into Harvard with a 3.0. It's like barely over a 3.0 and a 178 and is now in at Harvard. Mm-hmm. But that's the back door, and we don't want you sneaking in the back door. We want you going in through the front door if possible. The one thing I hated in this that I really wanted to talk about, just the work in combination with my ADHD has had a negative impact on my grades thus far and will likely continue to prevent me from achieving an impressive UGPA for my future law school applications.
Yeah, we can't do anything about the past, but we can do a lot about the future. You need to start questioning your assumptions.
Yeah, he's throwing in the towel on the rest of his undergrad career. I'm worried that the grades are going to slip even lower than, you know, it's kind of strange that he reported 3.0 to 3.3. That's a pretty wide range. The GPA, you know, like what? 3.0 is a B. 3.3 is a B+. Like, what is it? Are you close? Which one is it? Yeah. And this idea that, like, you know, think about the question he's really asking is something that we get so commonly, which is, how can I better position myself? Would it be worth it to provide an explanation? Yeah, you can write an excuse for sure. But I don't think you want to mention ADHD in your excuse, because then they're going to think you had extra time on the LSAT, which, by the way, you should have extra time on the LSAT. So hopefully you're reporting your scores with your accommodations. I mean, lifelong ADHD, that's a no-brainer. Apply for accommodations and get extra time on the LSAT.
Absolutely.
But if you then disclose that in an addendum, like, well, the reason why I got poor grades is because of my lifelong ADHD. Well, what? You're not going to not have ADHD when you go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, you're medicated now. You say that's helping you in your academic performance. There's one thing you can do that will make that actually impact the schools, which is get fucking straight A's now. If you get fucking straight A's now, then you might be able to write a thing that says, I had lifelong ADHD and I never got medicated until my sophomore or junior or whatever it was year. And from that point forward, I got nothing but straight A's.
Yeah. Then the excuse can explain something that was in the past. If the excuse just becomes, this is a reason for my past and present bad grades.
Right.
Then it just becomes like, okay, well, then that's going to continue to be an excuse for your bad grades in law school.
Right.
And here on out.
Yep. As far as your compelling story goes, I'm sure you do have a compelling story, Mark. That's great. That's a feather in your cap, but that can only help on the margins against other similarly situated applicants in terms of LSAT and GPA. If that weren't a fact, then the law schools would have much wider ranges of LSAT and GPAs reported on their ABA 509 reports. So, you know, these people, did you see where he said, and others also believe that I have a compelling story?
Mm-hmm.
So who is that, Mark? Is that like somebody out of law school? Because every law school counselor, every law school admissions consultant, every law school admissions person, they're going to tell you how compelling your story is because they want you to apply. They just want your application. And then they'll decide whether they're going to admit you or deny you. But they want your application. So they're trying to make you feel good about yourself. Oh, don't worry about the bad. You know, the grades. Yeah, I mean, boy, you should really do as good as you can. But, you know, you've got a very compelling story. It's like, yeah, well, you can make that story a hell of a lot more compelling if you start getting straight A's right now.
Yeah.
And if that sounds impossible, then my question would be, well, then how are you going to do in law school?
What's going to change? I think Mark is operating within a lot of assumptions, and I want to kind of address each one of them. So one appears to be that he needs to graduate within 4 years, right? And therefore, to do that, he has to take a certain number of credits, and to pay for that, he has to work a certain number of hours per week, and he also is assuming that once he graduates, he's going to go to law school, so he's got to take the LSAT now. It's like, well, you already talked about it. He doesn't need to take the LSAT before he graduates. He could take it after he graduates and then go to law school a year later. He doesn't need to go to law school right away. He doesn't need to graduate within 4 years. So if you have to work, and that's a question too, that's an assumption that I would ask you to really think hard about. Can you make this happen with fewer hours of work? But if you really have to work, okay, well then what other things can give? And maybe the number of credits you're doing per semester can give. You can do fewer and then do better on them. Granted, you may need to stay an extra semester, but that extra semester may give you just enough time to now start knocking out A's as opposed to getting A minuses or worse, right? Or B's, I mean, given the projections you're giving yourself right now.
And he's in a probably hard, you know, it's a math.
Yeah.
It's a science-y kind of a major. So, like, it's not like we're saying it's easy. Oh, he's a sophomore. You know, he's got, like, 2/3 of his undergrad ahead of him still. But he's already like, he's just given himself this excuse of like, well, I'm going to have low grades.
Yep.
Well, then why are you in school? Like, you shouldn't be in school getting poor grades. You should be getting straight A's. You need to be killing it in school. Otherwise, you're not getting your money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, that's another idea. Pause school for a semester.
But don't use that save for up the money. LSAT.
Yeah, no, no. You work to save up money or whatever it is that's constraining you, right? Also, I think he talked about getting extended time on the LSAT, right?
Well, he has to be. He's actually medicated for ADHD. That's a kick in accommodations.
Yeah. So if you haven't done that, get extended time for the LSAT, but not only for the LSAT, actually don't even worry about the LSAT right now. Yeah. Get extended time for all your exams in school.
Yeah. Like, start advocating for yourself right now.
There's so many things you can do. Get the book by Cal Newport, right? How to Get Straight A's.
Get the extra tutoring on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that there's an academic resource center that has like extra special tutoring slots for people with ADHD. I love the extra time on exams idea. Anything that they'll do for you.
Yeah. Anyways, hyper-focus on your grades and start questioning a lot of assumptions that you're making that are hurting your grades or the time you can spend on them.
That's come back and see us in a year or two or whatever, Mark, when you've got straight A's. And you'll be, you know, like that's the front door. That's the way that you're going to get to all of these really top great law schools. He's looking way too far down the road, I feel like.
Yeah.
You're ignoring your undergrad experience because you're worrying about the LSAT, which the LSAT's going to be, it sounds like the LSAT's going to be the easiest part of all of this for you. I would withdraw from August and September. You might be able to get a refund for September. You actually might be able to get a refund for both of them.
Yeah.
So far down the line.
I like that you're a planner, Mark. It's what led to you reaching out to us. But yeah, plan better for your GPA.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, and I can see the pushback, right? I can see. See, if he won't let go of this idea of going to law school immediately upon graduation.
Or graduating within 4 years.
then he's gonna be pushing back with like, well, but can't I just write an addendum to explain the bad grades? And it's like, well, yeah, you can. And the law schools will tell you that, you know, they read every page of your application really carefully and that really matters and stuff. But the admissions offers and the scholarship dollars follow GPA and LSAT.
Yeah.
Super tightly correlated with GPA and LSAT. And your URM status will help you. But, you know, you're like wasting time fantasizing about writing this addendum to explain your relatively poor undergraduate grades. And instead, you should just be getting better grades.
Yeah. I would say one other thing. I could hear maybe not Mark, but some other people listening to this and say, well, why can't I do both? Why can't I pursue the 4.0 and the LSAT at the same time? Well, fine. Do that. Once you have a 4.0, but until you're doing that, you can't do it. You're not doing it. So don't pretend that you can until you are. And so you have to start with the 4.0. And then once you can do that, fine. Add in the LSAT and see if you can maintain it.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's magical thinking, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we appreciate how hard you're working, Mark, and we appreciate how much you want it. And, you know, that's a hell of a lot of, I'm assuming that Mark is like 20 years old or something.
Yeah.
That's like you're doing things at 20 that I never did in my whole life, including like actually studying math in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have great respect for all that, but our advice is not going to be write some addendum. Our advice is going to be the facts are what matters to a lawyer, and the people who are admitting you to their law school ultimately are lawyers, because you're going to be a lawyer, and lawyers are driven by facts, and your GPA is just a fact. And that's one of the most powerful facts on your whole application. Yeah.
Well, that's the key too, is of all the facts, which are the most important, UGPA and LSAT.
Yeah.
So
not only that, but you'll get more out of undergrad if you get better grades.
Yeah.
Think about everything else in his application. He'll have like better letters of recommendation. He'll have tighter connections to these people who might be able to help him in some future career. He'll be
better prepared for law school, period. It's like, yeah. Okay, I pulled out a 4.0 at the end of my, in the last 2 years of my undergrad in applied mathematics and econ. Law school, yeah. It'd be different, but it won't be as challenging.
That's a great way to think about it. You need, Mark, you need to learn how to kick ass in school. And so you can use these undergrad classes as a proving ground, training ground for law school. Law school is going to be harder than your undergrad. Like I was just talking, Ben, to Sarah. Our Sarah was on the Harvard Sarah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was on a daily episode with me. And she was talking about how she's never worked this hard in her whole entire life.
Yeah.
She's a 1L at Harvard. And it's like, to get into Harvard, you have to bust your ass. And she now is like, I just had no idea what hard work was. And I've heard that from other people at top law schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like people think they're going to just, oh, well, all I got to do is just get in. No, no. You need to become an academic killer because you're going to be doing battle with nothing but academic killers.
Yeah. Start seeing yourself as a gladiator, an academic gladiator. Stop seeing yourself as someone who's, you know, sliding in, as you said, the back door. And
because the prioritization is a skill, right? Like I think that's what people don't realize is that that's part of it. In fact, it's probably a huge part of it to be able to prioritize and say no to the things that are keeping you from getting the A.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Mark's email, he's providing multiple excuses, right? It's the ADHD, but it's also the working 20 hours plus per week.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then you need to start eliminating some of those things. And the LSAT's the easiest first one to go. Like, stop thinking about the LSAT.
Stop thinking about your personal statement.
Okay. Stop thinking about your personal statement. Stop thinking about your addendums to law school. And then we can start thinking about, like, potentially cutting down on work hours, taking fewer credits, but essentially just do whatever you have to do to get an A in every class. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
Yep. Thank you, Mark, for writing in. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.